Welcome to From One Dad to Another, a podcast where I'll sit down and talk to other dads about the ups and downs of fatherhood, the ins and outs of what they've learnt through their journey, the pains that they may go through, and also the most joyous occasions. Thank you for listening. I'd love you to jump on to the Instagram from.onedadtoanother. Give us a follow, subscribe, review, anything that might help the podcast grow. Otherwise, jump on to powerstrengthvulnerability.com.au, and there's many ways on there to help out. Let's get into the show.
We are back with another pod. We're super excited to recap our last episode with Paul. No. Hey, how are you?
Good, Shane. How are you?
I'm good. It's at 7:43 at night on Wednesday when we're recording. So it's that middle hump of the week when you've got kids. It's like you can kind of see the weekend, but you're just dragging the chain a little bit as things start to get a little bit better over the next couple of days.
Yep. And I had last week off, so I'm still in the blues of coming back to work and trying to get out of holiday mode.
Okay. Yeah, that's never fun.
No.
Paul Polkar, I actually wanted to mention I had a really good chat with him today, and we still feel a little bit later, but we shared one of the clips on social media in the preview, and he came up to me when I saw him and he goes, that hit me really hard, that video. He goes, I always speak about it, but that topic, it just got me. He goes, it's different when you actually watch it back and you listen to your own words come out of your mouth. And I was like, shit, okay. Like, cause it was quite heavy, but what the video, I guess the social media and the line, and we'll probably touch on that soon, but it hit him as well. So I think it would have hit some listeners in certain ways. What was your biggest takeaway from the episode?
Well, probably going off that clip where he did sort of speak about, you know, not having certain experiences with his dad because it just didn't eventuate, and then having it later on in life. I think he nearly understated probably, and I might be reading this completely wrong, probably the value, I don't know how to word this properly actually, the value that he has from those learnt experiences. And like, because he's so conscious of his lived experiences that he wants to provide and have, you know, the best sort of intentions around a lot of those things with his kids. And I know, like, you talk about intergenerational trauma, and there is going to be things that, you know, like that, like, are going to trigger him from his experiences in his life. But he's super conscious about what he wants to do and what he wants to provide. And, I took a lot out of that, sort of looking back at that and going, well, there's a lot of things that, like, I've had a great relationship with my dad and lots of experiences like that. So I can't sort of relate to it at all, but he's probably more conscious than what I am around making sure that those things he's and experiences and traditions and that time is spent with his kids. And I think that's probably underestimates a bit of a superpower for him, because he's so conscious of it and really wants that to be something that his kids have.
And mine's really similar, so I'll sort of feed off you. Like, I know a little bit more about his backstory, and I thought it just, when I spoke to him today, I said, but he said, he goes, I just hope it's helpful for other dads out there. That's all he wants people to get out of it. And he said this too, it wasn't about porn for him, and he was, you know, he had really rough circumstances. So for me, it's not like that at all. He's going to live like that. What he wanted to get out, and I won't share more of his private story, which I'm fortunate to know and privileged to know. But when any of us go through it, and you know this, we've spoken about your circumstances in a previous podcast, we get the choice to decide how we live our life, like despite trauma, despite the shit that goes on, it can shape us. And what for me, it's already probably in a similar vein to what you have just discussed. he decided not to sort of sit in that woe is me all of the time, which you can so often do when you're dealt with, I guess, circumstances by that. And, I mean, the studies have shown most men that are in prison have had a really shitty relationship with their father or have had a father figure. I don't know that through work, previous jobs. But to me, what really stood out and the key takeaway and what inspired me is not playing the victim and learning from those experiences and accepting that you are going to still probably make some mistakes on the way, but accepting those, apologizing for those and, taking accountability. I think he does that quite well. But no doubt he did say he showed him to be interested to hear what his partner says about it, whether she agrees or not. But I said, well, it's your perspective on your life, and she may not agree with all of it, but the reality is that you still accepting that you make mistakes.
Yeah, and I think there's that growth element to anything. Like, I think if you have that perspective of even things that you think you are doing well, is there's always parts of it you can improve, or different situations where you might drop the ball a little bit. I was talking to Elise about this afternoon, and I was sort of looking at things that I do as a dad that sometimes work well for me, but then other times don't. Yeah. And it's generally because of me. So whether I'm flat or I'm tired, and then my response to things isn't probably where it should be. You know, when you're on your game, I get down to Lacey's level, you know, I talk to her about things and, you know, you keep things nice and calm and you generally get a really good outcome. But if I come in and yell at her or in the same sort of vein, you know, it's never a good outcome for me or for Lacey. She just gets upset or pushes back more on me. So it's an interesting one just around that growth. And I think he said it really well in that sense, is, you know, he's not perfect. But what he's trying to do, you know, overall, he's working towards like that goal or that purpose of what he wants to be as a dad. And that was pretty clear.
Yeah. Have you had any more takeaway from the chat before we sort of move on to the topic?
Yeah, I had one. And I think most of our guests I have sort of that similar thing, is just how they refer to their partners and working as a team. I just think that's so important, to be on the same page with different things. And he spoke about it so well. I think I say the same thing, to have the same takeaways from most of our guests. It must be a common theme between, role model dads that we have on here, that there is that common denominator with most of them, is they have really good communication and trust and that team. And he sort of said that a few times, that whole family sort of thing. That's another takeaway I had, Jane.
I can probably jumping forward to an episode we have already recorded, which is Sean's episode, where they're not together anymore, but their communication and their teamwork still is, quite high. But also understanding that probably all of our guests, they've got great skills in a lot of areas, but they get that they don't get it right all the time as well. Like, I think that the most powerful thing, and I spoke previously off air about pop culture parenting, which we both do a little bit of, and I'm off to episode 9. I'm going from the start. They're the best professionals in the world when they have kids, don't get it right all the time as well. We all have those moments that you spoke about with Lacey, where you're just at your capacity and it just sort of spills over and you're like, oh, well, that's not who I want to be. But it's the repair work that you do that really counts, because the reality is we're all going to have those moments of that. And if we don't, they sort of come out in really other ways anyway, which can be quite toxic and narcissistic and problematic, potentially laying down the track, but also in the fact that you might not be around at home much, which is just as problematic in other ways. So, it was, I just made Paul as a person, and obviously he just he's just a good person. I was quite scared because he was a little boy out when I first met him, and then started finding out he went to the beach to do ice bath, water swims and ice baths, and he does water fasting, and he does basically all the health stuff just to look after him and make sure that he's the best person and best role model he can be for, you know, his family, and, you know, give a lot to his, you know, business, which can be quite stressful when you're talking to families about, what they talk about.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, no, it'd be challenging job. And like, as he spoke about, you know, his job's quite full on, and so is his partner's. I think that adds an element too, which you need to have good support networks around to make that work. And they clearly do. But yeah, no, it was really interesting.
You wanted to think about tradition coming off the back of, we're going to run with traditions now.
We're going to go with traditions, are we?
Yeah. Right.
I think traditions is like, as a topic, I think is a bit of a hard one, because some people try and make traditions like, you know, we have to do this, we have to do that.
Yeah.
I kind of like, and I was sort of thinking about this quite a lot around traditions, and they all come back to sort of very similar things around just time getting spent with. Yeah. So I was like thinking about things that I've done with my dad over, you know, the years, and it actually didn't matter what the tradition or whatever it was, but it was just a matter of the time that I was spending with him. And like, we do lots of things, and there was one thing that came to mind was like Anzac Day. Me and my dad always go to the dawn service together.
Yeah.
And this year he was away, so it just didn't happen. But it's just, and it wasn't that big of a deal that, you know, we didn't do it. I still went to the dawn service on my own. But it was, that was sort of made me think about it, was like, well, it didn't actually matter that dad wasn't there. It was just, it's just something that we do every year. Mm-hmm. But again, it just comes back to, it's just spending time and that time element. But what are your thoughts around traditions? I'm not sure.
I'm not a traditionalist. I think what you're also talking about is also then the spirit and the legacy goes on. Even when they're not there, you're thinking about them. And then those memories that, whether they're away or they pass away, they're the memories you create, and that you carry them, you know, forward in those elements. And I probably didn't have tradition, so to speak, with either of my parents. We kind of did the Sunday footy thing well together. For a few years, mum and dad were always involved in the sport, mainly footy. But there was never any super tradition there. I think, and speaking to my dad, he got dragged along to quite a few of his parents' things and his grandparents' things. So I don't think he wanted to drag us along. I believe my parents were very selfless, probably too selfless, in not doing the things that they wanted to do. Whereas we're trying to do some small tradition, but it, again, as you mentioned, it's just about time and present. So whether we call it traditions or just doing things one to one with our child or as a family, that's what we're doing. We do, for us, every Saturday morning that we're home, we walk to the cafe every Saturday morning. Rain, hail or shine. If I'm away, they go without me. If Alicia's away or someone's sick, the rest of us go. That's just what we do. We don't budge really for anyone. Like if someone's there, something else, but we don't do that. If cricket or netball starts earlier, we go earlier. If there's nothing on, we might go a little bit later. And we kind of see that there's something for the kid more so than us. Cause sometimes they both, the kids want to walk or take so long. And that's quite triggering, how frustrating for you. So I don't know, frustrating. But they're also now, they get a cookie and a milkshake or a donut. It's really their treat. It's their time. They just get up. Alicia and I also get to chat, you know, because they're just busy pointing at cars and buses and trucks and everything like that. So that's something we do. That's something I want to do more of is, and I'm probably starting to do that now. He's really having that one-to-one time with each kid. how that looks, I don't know, because I don't know, but I'd say the oldest is going to be going to watch Collingwood game when he's old enough. And then, he loves lawn bowls. So it'll be next year. So it'll be me. No one else is that interested in lawn bowls. The other kids might be at some stage, but that's his thing. And I will add on that and been rambling a little bit here, but I've started playing lawn bowls with dad. And it's just, it's good. You know, my goal is to play cricket with my son and or daughter. And only in the last 8 months have I been able to play something with dad in a sport with dad. And it's really been watching him play because I realise where I get my frustration from. I've never watched him play court, so I haven't watched it while learning. It's just something that we tell the same things, we do the same thing. I played golf with him last weekend and he was cracking the shit. He hadn't played in like 15 years and he was still cracking the shit. And I would do the same thing. So, yeah, starting to do a few of those things with my dad. And I know once he's gone, I'll look back on those and the time I've spent, and those memories. So, yeah, that's kind of my take on it. If that's a take or just a story.
Yeah, no, and I think it is like, it's a hard one, traditions, because they change over time too. Like I know there for like a large chunk of like my sort of 20s, my mum, it was Friday night, dinner had to be at home.
Mm.
And like I've got two older brothers and a younger brother and like we were in our 20s, but Friday night, whether you were going out or doing whatever, we went to mum's for tea and all of us was there and she put on a big spread. And that was, we did that for years and years and years. And then like, the grandkids started coming along, so it ended up being like this massive sort of thing every Friday night, and then it slowly started to sort of to fade out because it was getting bigger than Ben-Hur every Friday night. But it, like I look back on that with really fond memories, but obviously, you know, things do have their run a bit as well. But and different traditions we have, like we have the stuff around with Nate, like we always go to Nate's Beach on you know, Mother's Father's Day, his birthday, and they're sort of just, I don't know, it's a bit of a reset for us as well. We sort of get out the beach there. It's always so nice. So, yeah, it's how you bring them into your life, I think. Yeah, it's a hard one. I think, yeah, traditions, when forced or come from ill intentions can be, you know, hurtful or pain, you know. But I think, you know, when they happen naturally and then they give you nice memories and there's that time element that you're spending with your loved ones, I think they're great. So,
My take. It's probably just thinking about it. It's probably a very big cultural and religious thing and I probably don't fall into either of those brackets. So, not something that, carry, but fully aware that people with different cultural backgrounds and religious backgrounds will definitely have their traditions and quite often they're linked back to community connection and time with people and being present. And again, that's something that we just all have in common as humans. We need to connect. We need time with people. We need to be present. And, especially the world's going further away from that. So it's more important than ever to just probably have those traditional type of circumstances or whatever that may be within each family.
And I'd love to just pull out something that you mentioned just before, too, just around that one-on-one time with your kids. And something I'm really noticing at the moment, especially with Lacey, she's nearly like craving that one-on-one time or because Bo's, you know, either hanging off us and Bo has been sick. So he has been like a little koala bear pretty much stuck to us at the moment. And I've really noticed it with Lacey wanting that one-on-one time and I think it's something I need to make more of an effort to take her out, and I have taken her out on a date before. We've gone to the pub, just the two of us, which I need to probably do that more often and try and put in the effort with her around that. But I did find myself today saying, because she was complaining about Bo getting all the cuddles at the moment, and I said, oh, it has been unwell, mate, and just remember when you were his age there was no one else, so you got all the cuddles. And she's like, oh, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of level of understanding of, like, the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting. My kids just don't understand that at all. current thing for 2 and 6 months. So there's no understanding that, yeah, and I don't even bother trying to explain anymore. I'm like, I actually don't get it. And they don't care. It's just words and probably more confusion. So I said to the boys, both the boys to Bunnings and Officeworks the other day, and they were unbelievable. They didn't fight. They didn't, they were so good together. They just, I think, being away from, you know, the baby, you do get a lot of the attention, which is just enough. The one-on-one, they're just unbelievable. Rarely is tantrum, there's rarely someone being upset. They get over a bump or bruise within like 5 seconds because they just want that attention and they're getting that all a kick. So I don't like the word attention. They're getting that connection that they want. So really interesting dynamic, but yeah, always comes back to time and connection, being present. And love that. We all do.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you just get with it.
You've nearly given me a segue into the next thing there, Shane, with connection. And I don't want to be saying this, but I have failed another challenge. But there is reasoning behind why I failed this, is there's taken planning. And you know what it's like with when you're trying to get away from kids and go out on a date. And that was a challenge to spend some time out on a date. I've been on holidays and in-laws have been away and I'm on call this week. So the plan is next week we're going on a date. So it is in the pipeline, but in the time that we're recording this, I have actually failed the challenge yet again. So I feel like I'm getting worse at these challenges.
I feel like you're not about a challenge altogether.
I don't feel so bad. At least I've got some plans in place.
Well, I forgot we put the challenge out there. It's still something I've been working on. I still wish it was still working out. We've had a really big challenge with our eldest child in 4 or 5 weeks. So it had to take it back deep, but it's definitely in the pipeline. So we'll get back to that as well. Definitely something we're working for. I'm trying to think. It feels like we've had one, but there's been a couple of periods, like short periods, where it's been like nice time connecting without doing a date. So feel like we kind of hit the box, but we haven't jumped fully in the water yet.
Yep.
So we're gonna go to Gems and Ops. We're gonna go to Gems and Ops now.
You better explain it. It's new. It's new to the pod.
Yeah, near the top. We kind of do wins and we talk about what we can improve on, but that's essentially what it is. A gem is our win of the week, our win of the fortnight, month, whatever we want it is. Something we feel like we've been really successful in doing. And then our ops are opportunities for growth as parents. Things that we're continually working on or we've seen others do, or, yeah, we've heard that can we improve the way we parent and the way our kids are raised. And, I guess we'll delve a little bit more into those things that come up. I think both are really important to recognize. We probably can avoid the opportunity sometimes because we feel ashamed and guilty when that doesn't actually help at all either. And then sometimes we skip over the win because it can feel like you just need to sleep.
Yeah, no, definitely. So what do we start with?
I was going to say, what do you want to start with? George, you want me to start?
You can start.
All right. My gem is the writer started gymnastics last week and he had a moment where I thought it was all going to turn and I felt myself going into a mode of overcorrecting, fixing, and frustration. Probably a combination of everything. And it was like boiling inside of me. Like, you're doing it, kid. Like, you're literally doing it. And he was having a moment. And then I went, no, this is your time. You don't need to fix it. You just need to be there. And this all happened very quickly. And I just knelt down and I just held him. And I just said, you can do it. But we'll get to it soon or we'll try something else. And he said, let's try something else. And he was able, because of that I guess, reassurance you're able to then go and want to do something else. And we went over to an active addiction summer cult. And I'll say it's my gem because I still don't get that right. A lot of the time, it's something I'm, you know, trying to work on hard, and that will probably lead me to an opportunity soon. But I'll go to your gem first.
My gem, as I said, at the start, last week we were on holidays, so school holidays. We took the caravan to Geelong and sort of had a week just hanging out. And there was probably a lot of reasons not to go, just because it was the weather wasn't the best. But obviously, like the financial side of things. But yeah. I think just having that time with the family in the car, going away, it didn't really matter where we were or what we were doing. You just don't get that time back. So that was my gem of the week, is just having that time away with my family.
Beautiful. It sounds simple, but it's very hard.
It is. Like, you sort of think, oh, yeah, it's not that hard, but to take a whole week off, to actually disconnect from work, and like I play sport, winter sport too, so you've got to sort of factor that in as well. There's so many things that go into trying to take a week off. But it all went really well. So, it was just a great week.
Love it.
Fill my cup.
My opportunity is based on kind of what I just said, and that I feel like I jump in quite often with the kids and expect more of them than the reality of what they can deliver. Almost not forgetting how old they are, because I know that logically, that like in those moments where my emotions come up, I feel like I'm very quick to be like, well, come on, mate. You know how to do that. Like that, you're born. But the reality is, we bought the kids these brain books, and there's a part of it saying a 5-year-old only got 25% of their prefrontal cortex. Like, why do these kids don't know how to fucking do these things all the time? Like, this is not their problem. This is my problem. So continually working on understanding that they are 4 and they are 2, and they are going to do things outside of the realm. They're going to push boundaries, and they're not going to understand what they're doing wrong, and they're going to get upset when you say, "This is, you can't do that for this reason." They just see that as rejection. They don't see anything else because they can't compute that. So that's definitely an opportunity of growth for me. And that will probably be every week, but I'll try and think of other ones as we go. I surely will improve on that, because I think I'm probably a 1 out of 100 at the moment for that. So if I bump that number up, I'll be going okay.
All right, mine. I think mine is probably an opportunity that I definitely have, is to just let the kids be kids a bit at times. I feel like sometimes, well, I don't feel like, Elise tells me, just let them be kids. Like today, for instance, I was cleaning up and Lacey was going behind me just trashing stuff. And I was spent the whole time just stop doing that. Don't do that. And Elise, like, school holidays, just let them be kids.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, you're right. It makes no difference whether I'm what I'm doing here. But that's, again, like you, it's me. And I need to stop that, or kind of shift how I approach that. But yeah, that's one thing I can definitely improve on. It's just letting Lacey do what she wants to do.
Yeah. I think I always look at it and I'm like, I'm basically setting them up to fail. Like, and just creating an environment where they can't win.
Yeah,
and it's like
when you have just swept the floor and Bo's behind you showering himself in sultanas, you're like, yep, okay.
Yep. And then I guess at the end of the moment, you got to go. And it's really hard because you're like, I just clean that up.
Yeah.
But you got to step back and say, is this about me or is this about them?
Mm.
Is this really that bad? And I'm talking about my circumstance, your circumstance, everyone's circumstance. Is it really that bad?
Yeah.
Is it really causing down my certain issue? And the reality is no, because they're probably not going to learn from it anyway. And it's kind of like, I've got to work on this frustration in myself.
Yeah.
I'll come back to that. Yeah.
Back to my control issues. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it always starts. It's always like, oh, I'm frustrated. They're not them. It's on me. And yeah, I'm trying the balance between setting the boundary for them and yourself and what, yeah, the expectations are because of safety. And I was coming back to this weird analogy, I know, but as parents, we never let kids drink alcohol. It's just, like, even if we're alcohol, they're like, I'll have that. And we're like, no, you're just not having that. There's no ifs and buts. But then the other circumstances where we're like, oh, no, like, you probably shouldn't have it all. And then you're like, oh, no, you can just do it. And like, it's like, we blur the line so much, but even when we're hard and fast, they stop asking and they don't get upset because they're like, oh, yeah, I know that.
Yep.
I know that. I know I can't do that. So, yeah, that's it for me.
Some good ones there, Shane. We'll have to check back in on those ones.
Yeah, if I remember. That River Chat Pete, that's it for me today. Anything for me?
No, I think that's about it, I think, for today's episode.
I guess I'll just finish with a precursor to the next episode you'll listen to is Alex Welch, our athlete, dad. This old time legend, he talent, composed, mum passed, but had an inspiring story. So that'll be up next. It was a great one to record and track his journey. And yeah, we'll share more details in the next couple of weeks about that episode. And yeah, looking forward to the next one after that too.
Beautiful. Thanks, Shane.
Appreciate listening to From One Dad to Another. If there's anything else you'd like to add, please email Shane Kelton at FOD2A.com.au.